If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weiner, joined as always by fansided MLB insider Robert Murray. Anybody want Eric Fetty? You can have him now if you want him. We will talk about that move, what's next for the Cardinals, the Dodgers need some Braves trade buzz, and answer many of your questions as we get even closer to the trade deadline. Now 8 days out, 6 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, July 31st. And until then, we have plenty of rumors to parse, and we know you are all going to have tons of questions in the comments, and we are ready for you. Or I should say, I am. Robert Murray, are you ready for the madness?
I'm very ready for the madness. And today has been one of those days where I got up bright and early. I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I got a phone call at about 4 o'clock this morning, and we were getting after it and all that good stuff. And I texted Fabian Ardaio, who is a friend of the show, friend of the program, at 4:16 this morning, and he got after me for that. So Fabian can confirm I've been up for quite a while, but it is good to be here. I was on the Cespedes Family Barbecue podcast this morning, so make sure to check that out. Love those guys, but good to be here with you as always. I have lots in the notebook. Should be fun. Adam Weiner, happy Wednesday, happy hump day. And we're closer to the deadline, baby. Let's go.
We are. I got to check out the Cespedes Barbecue Pod. I love those guys, too. So I will listen to that after the show. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. Happy Chrome Day. Topps Chrome is out. Am I considering my next moves after the workday? Yes. But also, does the workday ever end when the trade deadline approaches? Not really. So, you know, I got to be sort of situated here. But we'll see what happens. I'm watching some of the early breaks. I'm not loving it. But if you want to hear more about my card takes, you want to watch me blow $100 in 5 seconds, stay tuned. Next weekend, Robert and I are going to be at the National, August 3rd, August 2nd. Live shows each of those mornings at the National Card Show, plus plenty of more content. We're going to be running in athletes and celebrities and doing some quick interviews and talking to breakers and talking to grading services and doing a bunch of card content. So I'm probably going to spend money. And then am I going to expense the money that I spend? That's a great question. We'll have to find out. But please stay tuned for that. Join us in the Discord if you have not. Hit that join button below the show and just come on in. The water is fine. A great place to ask Robert and I questions between shows. But who am I kidding? You want to talk to Robert, especially as the deadline approaches. Thursday, tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern time, there is a Q&A in the Rumor Mill channel. So get in there. But obviously, if you're an all-star, we prioritize your questions in this chat. And if you're in here now, we're going to get to plenty of your questions as the show goes on. Subscribe to the Moonshot as well. Robert graded some of our trade proposals in there this week. That's our weekly baseball email newsletter. We're the fan side of the MLB team, including Robert breakdown of the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, behind the scenes info, all that and more on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansider.com. That is fansider.com/baseball-insiders. All right, let us roll. And I am going to use a comment to start us off because I know this is something you want to talk about when it comes to the Braves and Padres and Marcell Ozuna. There was even a specific package tweeted last night. People are so desperate for trade deadline chum that they're picking up on it and circulating it. We've got it in our comments here. So any thoughts on the Ozuna Padres connection and that offer?
Yeah, that report is not true. I've gotten denials all across the board on that. Maybe Ozuna is a fit for the Padres. Like, they are looking for a bat and maybe it would make sense, but the report saying that talks are intensifying and that it's that specific package is definitely 100% not true. So I am here to squash that. Padres are very active in the market, though. They're looking, as I said, for bats, pitching. They're looking for a lot of different things, but that is not one that is percolating as of this point.
And appreciate the question because that is something we wanted to touch on because, again, this time of year, if there's something that seems like a rumor, I mean, the Eugenio Suarez package, that three Diamondback for five Yankee package that we talked about on the last show that the Yankees Spanish voice on WFAN was talking about. Jack Curry hopped on a Yes Network after the Yankees beat the Blue Jays last night, which also followed the Blue Jays making fun of Anthony Volpe on Twitter for some reason and then losing. Whoops, wouldn't have done that if I were you. Curry basically said the Yankees and Diamondbacks have not yet had substantive talks on Suarez, that it may happen, but it hasn't happened. And he also said there are some players the Yankees have been connected to that they have no interest in. Yankee fans, I think, had a hard time parsing that. Is that Suarez? Well, they could have talks with the Diamondbacks. He didn't squash that. Is it Mitch Keller? Who knows? But either way, there is a lot of misinformation going on out there in the space right now.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I've had numerous different, like, high-ranking officials tell me it's that time of the year where it's rumor season. A lot of stuff floats around, and a lot of it is not true. Some of it is true. That is my job and some others to decide or to determine whether or not the stuff is true. So it's posturing season. It's all sorts of different stuff. But one thing I can definitively say is that rumor last night was definitely not true. But as going off of what Jack Curry was saying with the Yankees, and I've said it previously, I'll say it again, like, Jack Curry, when it comes to the Yankees, like, he is like a voice to definitely listen to. And Suarez, like, the talks haven't picked up yet with them in Arizona. Maybe they will, but as of this point, nothing has been too hot and heavy quite yet. Key Brian Hayes has been mentioned with them plenty in New York, and that fit definitely makes sense. And of all the teams, you would think, I mean, a big market team like New York or the Yankees would be able to take on a salary like that because he's signed for, what, 8 years for $72 million, somewhere in that ballpark, or $70 million. But, yeah, it's an interesting little evaluation there when it comes to acquiring Hayes because he's so good defensively, but yet the slugging is under 300 and his bat is just not picked up. And he feels like a classic change of scenery kind of candidate there. And if the Pirates are able to move him, they can implement that $7 or $8 million per year into a different part of the roster and even move up one of their prospects to third base. So, like, there's a bunch of different things that both sides can consider here. And it's not just Suarez or bust for the Yankees. Like, there's other options out there for sure.
Yeah, I am prepared to absorb Key Brian Hayes' contract. I, of course, am not the Yankees, but I'm calling myself the Yankees for now. Looking at Ryan McMahon as well, if Willie Castro becomes available, I think the versatility makes a lot of sense for the Yankees instead of just adding another big bopper in Suarez, who is going to be the most expensive target on the market, certainly most expensive rental on the market. We'll see how this plays out. But yeah, Anthony Volpe's got the yips at shortstop. Whether it was a good idea for the Blue Jays to make fun of him or not, it is true. So if you're acquiring someone at the deadline, if you're the Yankees, either you need a backup shortstop in addition to your third baseman, or you need someone who can cover both positions. And so I feel like I'm looking at a Castro type.
Yeah. Either way, the Yankees, they got to do something. because with Cashman making it clear that they want to do, or making it clear that they were going to be making moves, they can't just go out and not do anything or make small moves. Like, this has to be the year for them where they see an opportunity, because there's no real dominant team in the American League. Tigers are good, but they've recently struggled. There's no dominant team in the National League either. Nobody's running away with it. So there's just so much, there's such a an ability for teams, Yankees or just even throughout baseball, where they can try to contend, but and try to add at the deadline here. But that being said, Cashman made it, almost made it tough for himself to, or let me rephrase that. He's put himself in a position where he has to make moves, and anything less than just actually like really like meaningful, like needle moving moves would be a failure on my end. So the pressure is on him because he kind of put himself there.
I've got my C grade ready to unleash in the hot take cannon. So we'll see where we land after the trade deadline. And of course, after the trade deadline, I will regurgitate my thoughts onto the page. You can read those words, and then I'll be on a plane at 7 a.m. going out to Chicago to meet Robert. So wild, wild time. Uncle Ted, George Lombard Jr. is not raking. He's hitting like 200 at Double A. But other than that, could be a solution. Not this year. Maybe.
Yeah, plus, isn't he in Double A?
He's in Double A, not playing well, but we'll see.
Yeah, that seems premature. Uncle Ted. Yeah, that no.
Someday though, someday. I love the fit, but not right now. Well, speaking of another Jack Curry squash job, he spent all offseason making it clear the Yankees were not interested or pursuing a trade for Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado did not get dealt, and we sort of sat on that one for a while. And then John Mozeliak revealed this week that he was ready to get moving on the deadline, but also re-engage on the Arenado front. Who knows if there is even a chance of them finding a partner? We just went through 4 or 5 third basemen connecting to the Yankees, the comments saying Moncada, the comments saying Jose Caballero. We have not gotten to Arenado yet, and we know how limited his scope was this offseason in terms of teams he actually wanted to join. The Cardinals did make a move today, DFAing Eric Fetty. They now have a chance to trade him for a less than substantial return, or he could just enter free agency in the coming days. But the Cardinals trade deadline shakeup has begun. How likely is it that Arenado is part of it? And what are the next steps after this Fetty decision?
Yeah. So I look at Arenado and I think of it as this: the offseason is like the optimal time for a contract of that size to be moved. And his market, if there was ever a time for his market to be the most extensive, it was going to be in the offseason. And moving him now is really difficult. And if they were not able to do that in the offseason when it was plan A, B, and C, and D, I struggle to see how it gets done now. And maybe there's a team that can go out and get him. I don't think it'll be the Yankees. I know a lot of people have connected him to the Dodgers in the past, and I don't see that being a thing. I mean, the Brewers need like a third baseman, or they just need another infielder, but I don't see that being the case. I can't see Attanasio and Milwaukee being in a hurry to add that kind of a contract. So it's just, it's a difficult player to move. I'm not ruling it out by any means, but I am kind of skeptical that he will be moved, but they will be moving plenty of players in St. Louis. And I think Ryan Helsley is one of the guys who is more likely to get moved for sure. Expiring contract, very strong history in the back end of games. And every contending team is seemingly looking for a relief pitcher. So I would think him, but I've also seen rumors about Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. I do not expect either one of those guys to be moved.
That does not make sense at this juncture, especially as they continue to be in a transition phase. We see the comments. I want to address the Dodgers real quick and their sort of incoming bullpen desperation before we move on to a lot of your questions. It just keeps getting worse. Tanner Scott to the IL since last time we spoke, with an elbow that stings, which I can't think of a worse sequence of words. Ben Kasparias goes down yesterday. The Dodgers lose to the Twins. And as Cespedes Family Barbecue said this morning, we're getting dangerously close to Tungsten Armo Doyle status for Ohtani, who homered off a ridiculous Joanne Duran splinker last night, his fourth straight game with a home run, and they lost 10-7 to the Twins. The Dodgers are a favorite, if not the favorite, in the National League for good reason, but The bullpen situation is getting increasingly disastrous. They've been connected to basically every top closer on the market. How desperate do you see them getting, and what prices do you see them paying as the deadline approaches?
Yeah, the Dodgers, they signed Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates in the offseason trying to avoid this exact scenario. Like, when you sign two players of that caliber, like, Scott was coming off of just a tremendous season, and Yates' track record spoke for itself. And they thought that was going to end up solving their bullpen issues this year. They weren't going to have to worry about it at the deadline because they are very on the record in saying that they don't like paying those bullpen prices at the deadline because they're just so high. I mean, we saw the prices last year, and the fact that Brian Baker went for a high draft pick this year, that really kind of says it all. But yet the bullpen is a disaster in Los Angeles, and it's something that they can't ignore at this point. But I don't think they're going to want to explore like the deep end of the bullpen market. And as of this point, I haven't heard them much connected to David Bednar. I haven't heard them connected to a lot of the big names. That's obviously subject to change because we're 7 to 8 days away from the deadline. But they will be adding to the bullpen at this point. They have to, especially with that bullpen disaster from last night, which, it's no good. And I mean, they got good news on Tanner Scott, so that's nice, but they have to do something. I just don't think it'll be the big splash that we're typically used to the Dodgers doing.
Yeah, they missed Joey Crabill this morning. So another whiff in the Dodgers column. He goes to the Royals. Yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to be high-profile shopping as best they can. But it is fair for fans to wonder, when is it ever going to be enough? They could not have done more this offseason, and they still are short of arms heading into the deadline and heading down the stretch. Although, they won the World Series last year, so hang your hat on that. All right, straight to the comments because we've got a lot to address, and there's a tweet that came out during the podcast, which is something that I think happens a lot as we approach the deadline. This will not be the last time this occurs, but there is a Buster-only tweet talking about Dylan Cease, and this is a topic that we have covered on this show before. Maybe we pause. It's been a while. Only said a surprise name has emerged in the starting pitcher market, Dylan Cease, who will be eligible for free agency at year's end. Perception of other teams is that the Padres are intent on making a push for the playoffs and would use Cease to help fill other roster needs. The Mets are mentioned specifically here, as are the AL East teams and Cubs among teams that have talked about him. Yankees need a right-handed upgrade. The Cubs certainly could use pitching. The Blue Jays might be looking to replace Max Scherzer. And the fit is obvious. The question is, do you expect the Padres to actually follow through here, or do you expect this to just be more smoke, more lip service in the ongoing quest to make themselves better?
Yeah, before I dig into the Padres, I got a text from Fabian. Who, shout out to Fabian for watching the show. We love Fabian. Read his story on the Dodgers bullpen. He provided a lot of good insight there. So shout out to Fobs. Always make sure you read him for good stuff there. But as far as the San Diego Padres go, they're a team under AJ Preller. They consider almost anything and everything. They don't ignore any scenario. Like, they consider anything to try to improve the roster. And Dylan Cease is approaching free agency. He is someone that they value, they like him. Would they use him to try to upgrade other parts of the team? Like, I would imagine so. But the sense that I got earlier this month is that the Padres are just not looking to move Cease. They like him. They value him. They want him to be part of the rotation for this year because they believe that he gives them the best chance at competing. And yeah, like, he struggled for sure. Fans want him out of San Diego, but I mean, maybe it's possible, but I don't see that happening. But Preller is creative. He considers a lot of different scenarios. So I would not be surprised if he actually was if Cease actually was mentioned in some sort of trade talks or asks or whatever. But the Padres are active. I can confidently report that they are looking for pitching. They're looking for a bat. I think Luis Robert Jr. is a tremendous fit there. The catcher position is a bit of a different, it's a unique one to say the least, because they have a clear need behind the plate, but yet who's available? Like, Sean Murphy's not available. The Braves have made it, they made it very clear that he's not going to be moved at all this deadline. You can look at Adley Rutschman has been mentioned in trade rumors, but again, like, I don't see that being like something that necessarily like happens. I mean, to me, like, the best candidate would be Joey Bart, and how much does that necessarily move the needle? So we'll see, but I'm not, Cease isn't one that I'm tracking closely. I'll just put it at that.
Can't imagine the Joey Bart power outage this year plays great in San Diego either, but yeah, that need is glaring, has been for a while, almost like the Yankees glaring need at third base that it was just never addressed. You brought up Luis Robert. He has been heating up a little bit lately. He has been an impossible target to track as we approach the deadline. And someone asked about the Luis Robert trade return. Robert and Sandy Alcantara, two guys we all expected to dominate this deadline, and two guys who have not performed up to par and whose markets I can't make heads or tails of at this point. Are either of those players approaching a level where their current teams would be happy with the returns they're being offered and could be dealt in the next week?
I don't see the Marlins being happy with any offer they're going to end up getting for Sandy Alcantara. It's just his stock has been down. It's gone up, and then now it's back down. And I don't see the Marlins getting an offer that they're necessarily going to be like, yeah, we got to do this to get to move on from Sandy. So my expectation is that he'll end up staying in Miami. I would look at Edward Cabrera being a very strong candidate there. With Miami, and I do know that the Marlins and Cubs, not specifically about Cabrera, I don't know exactly what the conversations have looked like, but I know there's been some conversations there. So that is one trade fit to possibly keep an eye on for sure. And as far as Luis Robert Jr. goes, he's heated up recently for sure. Like his numbers to start the year were not good. They're still not good, to be fair, but he's performed a lot better recently. And he was, I believe, an 8 or 9 game hit streak. And he was out of the lineup yesterday. And I was like, oh, it's trade season. Like, what exactly could this be? But it was just, it was a standard off day. It was nothing to really look at too closely. But his stock has increased to the point where his trade package, it'll be better than what it would have been maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. So that's good news for the White Sox. But my expectation is that he's still moved, considering – Even if he continues performing at this level, I don't know if they're going to be in a position, or the White Sox, I'm saying, where they pick up that club option for next year. It's, to me, this feels like an easy one that you try to get the best offer and then move on from him now, even though it's not exactly what you wanted 365 days ago.
Yeah, the discussions sound like a Mitch Hedberg joke right now. Luis Robert Jr. used to be struggling at the beginning of the year. He still is, but he used to be too. They are going to have to move on at some point. And a hot couple of days can make all the difference, especially with all of the outfield needy teams, especially with all the teams lining up to talk Jaron Duran and then having Luis Robert Jr. potentially fall into their lap as the Red Sox potentially stand pat. I know we have a ton of Red Sox fans in the comments. Jeff Passan in his column this morning even noted that right now, Craig Breslow is sort of looking at the roster, looking at sustainability, looking at long-term, and is more likely to not make a massive play for a Joe Ryan type than he is to spend it all and you know, put it all on red and go all in on this year, especially given the roster's youth and talent, the way they played before the break and the way they're playing maybe after the break against some of the NL's top contenders, kind of signals strong club, good talent, good second half ahead of them, but maybe no reason to upend the long-term plan. Is that sort of the way you're perceiving things? We don't even think Joe Ryan's going to be available necessarily.
No, like, I mean, they're listening on Joe Ryan for sure. The Twins are, but I do not expect him to be moved at all. It just, if the asking price for Duran and Jax is, which Passan reported is two top 100 level prospects, that, it makes me wonder what exactly they're going to be looking for Joe Ryan. So, I'd be really surprised if Ryan is moved. But I do think it's not necessarily the worst idea in the world by the Red Sox to not go all in this deadline. Like I know that'll be frustrating for the fan base and that they're going to be wondering why ownership there isn't trying to invest back into the roster, but trying to go all in this year, and it would cost them so much to do so that it would actually impact their future. And I think that's something that the Red Sox and a lot of these teams have to weigh. There's so few sellers and there's so many buyers that this is just such a strong seller's market and the prices are just going to be so high that, I don't know, maybe being realistic or just being, as Passon put it, like process oriented, like good process oriented, might not be the worst move and would end up being better for them in the long haul. Like, I don't know if people will agree with that, but that's at least, what my read on it is. And also, last time I checked, Kyle Harrison is not pitching well in AAA. What's up with everybody getting the stats wrong in the minors? I think his ERA was around like 5. So yeah, that is not the case.
Is he pitching better than Rafael Devers is hitting though?
He's playing first base though.
Yeah. Sure is. You know, he says he told everybody yesterday he loves to be on the field rather than DH. You know, keeps the legs healthy, keeps the body locked in on the game. That's not exactly what he was saying when the Red Sox asked him to fill in for Tristan Casas. But hey, I'm not the Rafael Devers police anymore. I used to be.
Now, you did a good job when you were the Rafael Devers police. Good job, Adam.
Felt good to be on the beat, but now you know what? We can hang our feet up. We can just hang our feet up and take the shoes off, kick them up, be on the trade deadline control instead. A couple teams we haven't talked about yet. The Angels, what the hell are they? An evergreen question from the last 12 years of Major League Baseball action. Could sell Yoan Moncada, Kenley Jansen rentals, or could compete in a wild card picture that's still just as clustered as it was about a month before the deadline. You've got the Yankees, Mariners, Red Sox separating themselves a little bit, Rays and Rangers inching over 500. But what are the Angels? How do they view them?
Yeah, so I'm pulling up the standings right now, and I want to make sure I get this right. So they're 49-52, and they are 10 games out of the division, and they're 4 games back in the wild card, which the wild card is obviously their most realistic path to getting to the postseason. But if you're the Angels, you got to look at that team and realize you are not close to contending at all. They're many pieces away, and you can sell. The players that you mentioned, you can put in Joe Adell, you can Tyler Anderson, like you name it. There's pieces for them to sell, and yet I'm still not convinced that they will sell. And we'll see. It depends on what Artie Moreno is thinking or feeling a certain day. It's a phrase that I love to use in this podcast, but it's legitimately the truth. And I don't have a good feel for what they're going to do right now. But if their history suggests anything, with them being so close to contention, or at least in it with the wild card race, I have a bad feeling that the Angels are going to trick themselves again and maybe do a slight buy. So we'll see. There's nothing really firm to report at this point, but boy, not good.
What about the Cubbies? I know we've got our fair share of Cubs listeners checking in. The latest on the rumors floating around.
Yeah, they're very much looking for pitching, and that's been the priority for them basically all month. Is you'd ask people around Chicago or in Chicago, and it's pitching, 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 pitching. And I've heard them connected to Mitch Keller. I've heard them connected to Cabrera with the Marlins. I've heard them connected to a lot of different names. And I absolutely expect them to get a starting pitcher. Whether or not they end up getting a bullpen arm on top of it remains to be seen, but both of those are definitely a priority. And both are definitely a priority.
What about the Philadelphia Phillies? We had a lot of questions about two strong games. This, no surprise, Zach Wheeler and Christopher Sanchez were both good this week. Phillies look a little bit better. The window looks a little bit more open now. A lot of commenters and people who I've talked to in the last couple of weeks have all sort of united around like, man, doesn't Dave Dombrowski usually, you know, splurge at the trade deadline? Why aren't we talking about him splurging for Eugenio Suarez or making the big impact move of the trade deadline that we're all overlooking? Why aren't we just sort of assuming that given the talent on the team and given the ticking clock and the age of these players, that this wouldn't be the deadline where he goes all out? So I'm seeing Luis Robert, I'm seeing Jaron Duran, obviously, in the Twitterverse, helped his case with leadoff home run against Zach Wheeler this week. What are your thoughts on the Phillies' current targets?
Yeah, it's going to be bullpen heavy, and a bat is definitely possible there in Philadelphia. And as Matt Gelb of The Athletic reported, like, the Phillies have definitely shown a willingness to go out and get players who are on like controllable contracts. And that would mean probably parting with one of their better prospects. And I don't like, I'm under the impression that Andrew Painter is very unlikely to get moved. But I'm curious who else could necessarily be available there. That's on the upper end of their prospect list. And one player who I think is a really strong fit with Philadelphia is David Bednar, with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like obviously, the Phillies ended up getting David Robertson in free agency, which that was a nice little move for them. I'm curious to see how impactful he can be considering he signed midseason and hasn't had any live game action, but getting him and not having to part with any prospects to do so, that was something that other teams were eyeing as well. But they will be in the bullpen market there in Philadelphia for sure. I think one is possible, or one is definitely possible. Two kind of remains to be seen. But definitely bullpen and bat in Philly. And this is, I expect Dave Dombrowski to be aggressive at this deadline.
I think he owes the fans of Philadelphia a classic aggressive Dave Dombrowski deadline. And I appreciate everybody who's been keeping me in check the past couple of weeks, reminding me to think about him when I'm positing teams and talking about potential large moving pieces, because it just makes sense. What about if we're talking about the teams in the bottom portion of the AL wildcard race? We've had multiple Rays questions on this show, and I'm going to add one to the docket right now. Add, subtract, somewhere in between always feels right for the Rays, but what's the pulse there?
I think they're in wait and see mode, and it largely depends on the next 3 to 4 days. And my guess is they probably do not move Fairbanks, but I am not ruling it out. And they're in a spot where, I mean, no matter what, my guess is they probably don't do overly much in Tampa Bay. They obviously got Brian Baker in a trade earlier this month from the Baltimore Orioles, and he can end up impacting that bullpen for a few different seasons. So that was not just this year in mind for them. They had the future in mind there as well. But I'm expecting a relatively quiet deadline from Tampa, unless, I mean, they end up like losing out from now until the deadline, or they win out until the deadline. But yeah, I don't know if obviously a burner is watching this show today, but I'm expecting a quiet deadline there.
And one more before we sign off, what about the Milwaukee Brewers? We even got a question on Twitter from Eric Fisher, who's wondering why the Brewers were listed as buyers looking for more outfield talent, according to the Athletics big board, considering their existing surplus. I thought that was an interesting question. Shout out to Eric. The Brewers lost last night, and so their fans do not get free hamburgers, which sucks. But other than that, they do seem to be in pretty good shape. What are you expecting as the deadline approaches for the potential best team in the National
League? Yeah, I don't know why they would be connected outfield help. Although that being said, they are in the business, so they've long been in the business of acquiring the best talent. And maybe that even includes adding another outfielder. So it's not impossible, but I don't think that's overly a likely solution there for Milwaukee. But they absolutely have to be Mark Bowman's hearing exactly what I'm hearing, that the Padres and Braves have not had any discussions about Marcell Ozuna. So that, that's a tough day for Hector Gomez. But anyways, the Brewers, they are definitely like, they definitely need to go out and get a bat. And whether it's a Suarez or a Ryan O'Hearn or even somebody that we're not talking about. And one player that I know they've liked previously is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So, I mean, I don't know if they're interested in him now, but that is another name that I've heard linked to him at least in previous years. So that could be a name to watch, but I expect them to add a bat. Maybe a Quintana trade happens, but this needs to be the year of any year where the Brewers go out and get an impact player. Cause if not now, when? I'm going to say that from every podcast between now and the deadline. And if I can promise you, Brewers fans, if they do not go out and get an impact player, I will make sure I let the Brewers hear about it, because that would be unacceptable.
Absolutely. I don't know why they need IKF if they have the Durbinator, but either way, something to keep in mind, of course, as the deadline approaches. And we thank everyone for joining us today. We will be back a lot next week, pre-deadline. So stay tuned for the schedule. Robert is going to be doing a Q&A at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow in the Rumor Mill channel of the Discord. So join us there. Here's next week's schedule. Monday. I scrolled one. Two, three, two. Monday at 3:30. Monday at 3:30 Eastern. Tuesday at 3:30 Eastern. Wednesday at 3:30 Eastern. Trade deadline day at 2 p.m. Eastern ahead of the 6 o'clock deadline. So four shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, heading into the big day, the evening. And then Robert and I are heading for a weekend of live shows at the National, where we're going to be recapping the trade deadline some more, giving out some early grades, talking to guests, getting their thoughts, talking memorabilia, and getting questions from the crowd. So we hope to see you there. Subscribe to the Moonshot, get it right to your inbox, or read it on the Baseball Insiders feed at fansider.com/baseball-insiders. Robert, anything I missed?
No, definitely did not miss anything. I'm glad the Mark Bowman tweet came out now, so we could talk about that there. But we're basically, what I've heard from numerous different executives is that we're still in the tire kicking stage, and maybe there's a deal that sneaks across the line or across the finish line sometime soon, but the bulk of the action is going to come at the end of the month. So I would not be hanging by your phones waiting for news by any means, because we still got some time for this market to heat up, and it will, but we're just not there yet.
Appreciate everybody's questions, though. We hope to have more concrete information for you soon, and we hope Marcelo Zuna actually does go somewhere so that we're able to put that one to bed. Until next show, and turn your notifications on to learn when that is, or join us in the Discord. Hit that join button. Until next time, Robert and I will see you right back here on the Baseball
Insiders. That we will. Thank you, everybody.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.